Get ready to be mesmerized. Get ready to be entertained. Get ready to be informed. And most of all, get ready to listen. The latest sports news, great interviews, and the best coverage from around the nation's capital. It's Listen In with KNN, the sports sound of the district, right now on AM 1340 and 96.9 FM, Fox Sports Radio. Here's your host, Kelsey Nicole Nelson.
All right, sports fans, it's time to get into sports talk in and around the DMV and beyond, as I am glad to welcome my listening audience back for another week of Listening with KNN Sports Talk radio show and podcast presented right here on our home, Fox Sports Radio, 96.9 FM and 1340 AM. As always, thank you to all the loyal listeners that are joining us each and every week. I am excited for you all this week. I have a very special guest that I have not seen in person since the Super Bowl this year in Atlanta when Tom Terfik won Super Bowl against the LA Rams, but I'm excited to bring him in. And nonetheless, we got to get some Midwest love as he'll be coming from Denver, Colorado. And with that being said, I'm excited to announce that today I will be joined by the one and only award-winning journalist, Justin Adams of CBS Channel 4 out in Denver, Colorado. All right, with that, it means it's time to sit back, relax, and get ready to listen in and follow along with the conversation as always on social media using hashtag listenin with KNN or hashtag LIWKNN. Welcome back to Listen In with KNN, the sports town of the district and beyond, where it's now time to welcome in today's very special guest, a good friend, a colleague, a man that is killing it in the journalism scene. I'm welcoming in none other than award-winning journalist Justin Adams. Justin, how are you today?
Kelsey, I'm doing well. How about yourself? Now, you know it's a beautiful day outside, so we got to make it happen today.
I'm excited. This is why I brought you in. See, good vibes, good people. And it's hard to believe, I said this on the show earlier, but I can't believe I haven't seen you since February when we were in Atlanta for the Super Bowl. No, wait, I forgot NABJ completely.
In my head, you know, right. Well, I didn't go to NABJ this year. I have a little one at home, so you know, I would have loved to go, but thank you. You know, Justin Jr. is his name, and you know, I would love to spend $1,000+ on an opportunity to go down to Miami. But when you look at diapers and formula, you will not go.
Oh my
gosh. I'll put it that way.
Yeah, I would have chose diapers and formulas anyway.
Oh yeah, yeah, no, without a
doubt. We had the fun for you, Justin.
Oh yeah. I heard it was a good time. I'll put it that way.
It was. You were missed, but I was glad we were able to connect for the Super Bowl in Atlanta, mm-hmm. which was a good time, and that was before you had your little one, so you could probably be a little bit more flexible with that. But Super Bowl was, oh my gosh, that was my first Super Bowl coverage, Justin, so it was fun
really?
For me. What number Super Bowl was that for you?
So that was number 2. So I was there last nice. Year, and thank God, because you know in Atlanta, you actually, when they say hot Atlanta, compared to how it was in Minnesota last year, I mean, it was like scorching Atlanta compared to that. It was so cold.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, there's times where it's so cold that you just want to hit somebody, and not because you're mean or anything. You just want them to feel like what you're feeling, and that's how cold it was. It was ridiculous.
That's hilarious. But it would warm them up, I guess, if you hit them as well.
Oh, yeah.
Not that Justin would do that. He's a good guy, people, I promise. But Atlanta was nice, even though I thought it would be warmer than it was. But I had packed all hot Atlanta stuff, and then I got down there, and of course I came back, Justin, with the flu. But nonetheless, Atlanta was good with Tom Brady. Mm-hmm. With Tom Brady, and the next year you might get to go back to Miami since the Super Bowl will be there.
Yeah, and hopefully we'll see a couple of really good teams down there. Now I know we're in D.C., so I just have a feeling that we may not see a team from Washington down at the Super Bowl this year in Miami.
Yeah.
But, you know what? The Patriots are another team that's doing it again, right? Like, they're undefeated, you know.
Yeah.
And they look like a team that's unstoppable again. So, from a guy who covers sports in Denver, Colorado, I'm hoping that somebody in the AFC can go and stop them this year.
It's hard to cut them. It's really hard to count the Patriots out. You know what? Since we're already talking sports, let's just get into sports talk. And you talked about the AFC, and it seemed like there has been a lot of conversation. As you're saying, can anyone defeat the Patriots? Now, one team that some were looking at are the Baltimore Ravens. But at the same time, people are looking at a Baltimore Ravens team that had to win in overtime against a third string quarterback. So some are saying, is that enough? Of course, because the Steelers team that's also really struggling. But if you look at it, Lamar Jackson, I mean, now the last game wasn't his best game, but he started off the season red hot. And their defense, even though it's not the same defense as we know before, right? You have no Ed Reed, no Terrell Suggs, no Ray Lewis on. You have a lot of new faces on the defense, a young team, and you have, of course, Earl Thomas. But that being said, do you think they have the offensive and defensive weapons, the Baltimore Ravens, to possibly give New England, you know, a shot at possibly going to Miami next year?
Oh, yes, 100%. And when you talk about specifically going up against New England, you go back even to years where New England did get to the Super Bowl, or I will even go back to 2015 when the Broncos actually won the Super Bowl. But they had to go through New England, who beat a Baltimore team that at one point was up 14-0 in New England, right? When Baltimore won their Super Bowl in 2012, well, they won the AFC Championship in New England. So John Harbaugh he knows just what to do going up against Bill Belichick. There's always those different matchups. There's certain coaches who just know, who are like the kryptonite. They just know what to do in order to get the job done. And so, yeah, I believe 100% in John Harbaugh. The biggest thing would be this. Can you be able to run the football effectively going up against New England? If you could do that, that would be fine, because that would help out Lamar Jackson, especially after what we saw last year in the playoffs where, you know, Los Angeles came out and the Chargers just said, look, we're going to play four down linemen, 7 DBs, beat us, and Lamar Jackson couldn't do it.
Right, and you talked about it. They have to be able to effectively run. And that's honestly has been the bread and butter of the Ravens' offense as of really their history. And, of course, they have no longer have Joe Flacco, who, of course, was a great pocket passer. But Lamar has proven that he can get it done on his legs, which was very helpful last game. But also he does have an arm to get it to. Of course, I think his top receiver that we love watching him throw to, Marquise Brown, a.k.a. Hollywood Brown, to get the job done. But that being said, they are first right now in points per game, averaging 32.2 in rushing yards. They're second in the league. But I think they are a team to watch. But I do think, especially after that Browns game that they lost, and that game was just a bad game for the team after coming off red hot against the Miami Dolphins, that they do have some things to clean up. So John Harbaugh, I know he's happy about, you know, where they are right now. But, of course, the Ravens, if they really want to be contenders and not pretenders, Justin, they got to clean it up on both sides of the football. And also Lamar, I just like to see him make some better decisions, because some of those interceptions last week, I know he wishes he could have them back, because I think those were part of the difference, you know?
Yeah, definitely. And also on the road, too, right? A road game at Heinz Field going up against the Pittsburgh Steelers, a team that, you know, were on a short week that won, you know, the Monday night before and had a great opportunity to win it. In many respects, if we're very honest, should have won that game, right? But it didn't happen. And those are the small things where, you know, at the end of the year, you just tab as I mean, you just count up as many wins that you have and say, okay, hey, we're in the playoffs. We're in the postseason right now. The Ravens tops in the AFC North. But really, when you look at the rest of the division, to be very honest, who's the team that's going to beat the Ravens? Cincinnati's winless, right? You know, Cleveland, you know, they're still, Cleveland's still being knocked around all over the place in San Francisco as we speak. And then you look at Pittsburgh, right? And so you look at that team who's one win on the year, other than the Browns, and you have to go to Cleveland and get a win there. If you could do that, it's really you're scot-free if you're the Baltimore Ravens to get into the postseason. So it's important that you take care of your business. You help out Lamar Jackson. You give him a great running game. Your defense steps up as they have as well. And you go get into the postseason and you give it the best shot that you have, because I think this defense has a great opportunity to do something special in the playoffs.
You just got a whole lot of Ravens fans very happy, Justin. So you're gaining some popularity over here on the East Coast. But that being said, one last thing on the Ravens. I want to talk with you about that Earl Thomas hit on Mason Rudolph and just get your thoughts and comments on it. And if you think it should have been a suspension, was it ill-willed? Give me your thoughts on that hit and kind of the aftermath of it.
Well, I come from the school, so I play football at the University of Colorado. So, you know, I played there a little bit over a decade ago. Go Buffs, by the way. But I come from a school where those type of hits were commonplace. Like, those happened all the time. And so what the NFL is trying to do is they're trying to clean up the game little by little. But at the end of the day, Earl Thomas said that, you know, he was just trying to go into the strike area. You know, John Harbaugh said that he was trying to pull off a Mason Rudolph. And, you know, with different things like that happen and the way that the NFL is being refereed these days, I thought that it was a clean hit. you know, but it is, at the end of the day, it's a contact sport. And so you may not like it, but the reality is that people, hey, it's a contact sport, and you will get hit hard. So in today's NFL, I am a little bit surprised that it wasn't a flag. I wouldn't say he deserves to be suspended, but there will be a fine that will come down on Earl Thomas.
I agree. I watched the hit multiple times, even after watching the game. I thought it was clean. I didn't think he was ill-willed. He wasn't trying to purposely hurt him. And, of course, best wishes to Mason. You ain't seen anybody on the ground like that, really not moving after a hit like that. But like you said, football is football. It's organized chaos. Organized violence. And it is. I mean, your objective is to get the person down. And I think, unfortunately, the league has gotten softer. But I do understand making the game safer. And I do understand concussion safety and things like that. But at the same time, you got to let them play. And I think that's what it was about. And also, let's remember, it was the Ravens Steelers. That's hard-hitting, hard-mouth football in that rivalry. So those are kind of the hits that we expect to see, because that's kind of what made the rivalry that it is. You know, you can go back to the days, you know, you had your Hines Ward and your Ed Reeds and all those type of players playing against each other. But I think it's just important to realize, again, that football is football. Again, we're trying to make the game safer, but I think he will get fined as well. But I thought, I'm glad that the refs did not penalize him personally on that hit during that game. But I do think, Justin, that if it were a different quarterback, bigger name quarterback, that he would have got flagged.
You mean the one that starts with a T and ends with a B?
Of course. Pretty boy Brady.
Well, you know what? Here's the thing about Tom Brady, too, which is interesting, right? Number one, no, nobody will ever hit him like that, because he wouldn't just get thrown out the league. He'll be in the XFL the next day. I'll put it that way, okay? But Tom Brady knows how to protect himself a whole lot better. 42 years old and still doing the thing. But also the Patriots know how to protect him. They don't put him in a situation where he has to stand back, throw 35, 40 times in the game anymore. They go and say, hey, we'll turn around and you run the football. Sony Michel, go and do what you have to do. So that's what they do, and that's what helps them be successful. And in the same way, when you're looking at Mason Rudolph and you're trying to figure out, okay, what do you have in him? Ben Roethlisberger's out for the year. What do you have in Mason Rudolph? Is he truly the future? That's the reason why he might be out there in harm's way a little bit more than usual.
Very good points. Very good points. But still, let me tell you, if Brady gets hit like that before he retires, we will all remember that. I don't know if you saw the video he dropped after the Redskins game, but Tom Brady is feeling real good right about now in his position that he's in. And speaking of the Redskins, Justin, oh my gosh, so much chaos. 0-5, but since we're also talking about the Steelers, I want to talk with you, since ESPN and CBSSports.com have also been kind of, let's say, flaming the flames of Mike Tomlin passability here in Washington. Give me your thoughts on that, and if you think we'd ever see that happen anytime soon.
Well, if Mike Tomlin wanted to have an opportunity to literally take the money and run, go to Washington, because it is shown that if you go to Washington, sure, you'll go there, you can have whatever control that you want, and then you're going to be fired in about 3 to 4 years, because that's the way that Daniel Snyder has worked. Unfortunately, you know, think of all the guys that he's had, Marty Schottenheimer, Mike Shanahan, so many guys who have been literally pillars in a game of football, and it hasn't worked out because of ownership. And so you continue to hear over and over again that ownership is an issue. Going back to that Instagram video with Tom Brady, right, smiling after the game going up against Washington. Why? Well, it's because the ownership hasn't done their job. They haven't done their due diligence in order to put a good enough product on the field to have season ticket holders stick around and stay there in the stadium. Now you have all these Patriot fans who are there. It's pretty much a home game for them, where if you be honest, if we look, say, 20, 25 years ago, you would have never thought about that when you play up at an old RFK. So that has to change. And so sometimes owners have to look at themselves in the mirror, and you just can't treat – obviously, yes, football is a business at the end of the day. I get it. The NFL is a business. But at the same time, there's a business in winning, and there's a way you got to go about it and win. But Daniel Snyder has to get his act together, or the Redskins will be just a team that's irrelevant. And let's be honest, as they play the Dolphins this week, this is pretty much for who's going to tank for two of the most.
That's powerful. And I'm glad you said this. I want to break down a couple of things that you said. Of course, Washington is in turmoil right now, not just with coaching, but even from players. You can just hear the disgruntlement of them. And even from staff, there have been some accusations coming out, you know, that women aren't treated right and different things like that. And there was a video that leaked of Jay Gruden, which seems to be smoking something he shouldn't have been smoking. And, you know, just kind of inappropriately talking to a young female. So that being said, kicked it all away. We talk about the insider in the organization. I mean, and really since after the Joe Gibbs days, it just seems like Washington has been trying to find its footing in terms of a head coach. We just talked about Baltimore. We have, you know, John Harbaugh, who seems pretty much has job security, and rightfully so, with the job he's done with the Ravens. But in Washington, you said it, it's like great people have come and been under the leadership of some of these coaches, but then next thing you know, they're gone. And then they find success elsewhere. But let's just be honest, Justin, Dan Snyder is not going anywhere. He's keeping that team. So that being said, with that step, what do you think is the next best step Washington can do? They can't turn the season around fully, but let's just say make a positive stride for the season. What can Washington do? What would you like to see do? Because when I was at the Redskins-Bears game, same thing. It was like half Bears fans. So what can the Washington organization do, in your opinion, Justin, to gain back the support of fans before it's too late?
Have a culture and win games. That's the number one thing you can do.
Yeah.
No other way around it, right? You have to go and win football games. So right now, it's not a winning product. I mean, Case Keenum's your quarterback. Wait, no. Do you have somebody else as your quarterback now, right? You're still trying to figure out what you're going to do at the quarterback position. That's where it starts. And then you go up the top, right? Dan Snyder, like, you have to go and – this is the type of team that we're going to be. This is the culture that we're going to set. We're going to stand by a head coach and literally allow him to build up a roster. Stick around with Bruce Allen, who's your general manager, and then be able to do more different things with him and say, hey, these are the type of players that I want to see. But right now, you're a ship without a rudder. I mean, you are literally flailing and going all over the place. So it doesn't matter who you have there. It doesn't matter if you put Dwayne Haskins in a football game. It doesn't matter if you put Colt McCoy in there. It doesn't matter the guys that you have. The reality is right now is you're not a winning franchise because you don't have a culture. And teams that don't have cultures don't win, period.
And that being said, too, you talked about Haskins briefly in your conversation. So right now you talked about the quarterback. Callahan has already said basically Haskins will not start. And some support that. Obviously, he's young. He's a rookie. And after his last showing where he had, unfortunately, three interceptions, many are saying, you know what, he still needs to watch in the sidelines. That being said, would you like to see Haskins start at all this season? Or do you say just let him stay on the bench and watch and prepare for next season when hopefully Washington will be contenders?
I would say I would like to see Haskins after the midpoint of the season. And the reason being is you still – something happened, you know, when we got – for some reason the last 5 to 10 years, something has happened where we don't allow guys to be able just to sit on the bench for a while, especially quarterbacks, right? We don't allow them to sit on the bench for a while and just learn the game. Learn the game at the NFL level. Learn the speed at the NFL level. Learn a playbook. Learn all the intricacies of that. We just want guys to jump into the game immediately, like they're Andrew Luck or something like that, right? And be able to take their teams to the playoffs. Well, that doesn't happen. I mean, you even look at a guy like Patrick Mahomes. He sat behind Alex Smith for a year, and then he came out and was the Patrick Mahomes that we saw last year and we all know and love right now. So I would love to see Dwayne Haskins at least get a couple more games where he sits down. He learns from the guys that are in front of him, learns the new playbook right now. I would imagine it's not a new playbook, but at least learn what the coaches want to call and then go into the game and see what he could do when he has a full week of prep, working with the ones, and then go and play.
All right. I'm not against that. And I do think he is the future for Washington. And I mean, obviously the fans are behind him. And I think once he starts starting, I think we'll see the same RG3 craze that Washington had for Dwayne Haskins. And of course, that's if he can kind of live up to the potential and kind of do what he was able to do at Ohio State. But I appreciate the candidness. Hopefully, Washington fans, I know it's not what you wanted, but me and Justin are just here keeping it real for you. And hopefully, Washington, you got to beat the Dolphins. If they don't, it's just going to be really tough times in D.C. But hey, we got some other teams playing for championships.
Kelsey, is there a way that you can have a tie? Like, wouldn't that be awesome? Like, both teams are 0-5 and they walk out 0-5-1.
That might be the fairest thing, Justin. It really might be the fairest thing. Like, because, I mean, I don't know if you saw, but, like, Dolphins tickets, Justin, you can sit, like, down low for, like, under $20. Some people, I mean, people don't even want much for it. I mean, it's gotten that bad. Like, honestly, if I had some leave, I'd probably just go down there to see a game and, you know, see what it's like to sit in the first row. It's gotten bad. I mean, all the teams in Miami, it's like everything is just really cheap. It's tough times in Miami. But, hey, they got palm trees and beaches, so we can't feel too bad for the people out there. All right, I'm crazy to think about it. NBA preseason basketball, lots been going on. But the biggest news, Justin, has been that our guy, Ben Simmons, has hit a three. Quick moment of silence for that. All right, Ben. We appreciate it. So those that haven't been watching, the star point guard finally made all of us just so happy on Tuesday night. And the final seconds of the first half and the preseason game basketball. Still can't believe it's October. We're talking about preseason basketball against China's Long Lions. He was able to do what none of us thought he could do for a while, but he hit the three. And if you notice, if you look back at his history, he had not made any three-pointer in any preseason, regular season, or postseason game. He was going 0 for 21 across two seasons. And basically, he would not venture outside of that paint. He understood where his shot was. But that being said, watching Ben Simmons make that three, Justin, what does that do for Philadelphia's 76ers team? And also, what does that do for Ben Simmons as we move forward going ahead to the regular NBA season?
It makes everybody better immediately. And because the number one thing that you could do, especially if you're a point guard, is when you can shoot shots from the outside, you open up the floor for everybody else. Tobias Harris, he immediately gets better. Al Horford, who's a guy who could step out and shoot the three as well, he becomes better because now he could do different things in the paint. But the biggest thing for me with, you know, Simmons starting to hit threes, how about Joel Embiid? Now you can have somebody who's now closing in on him and having a double team. Now he can kick it out and give it out to Ben Simmons, and Simmons can now hit. It doesn't have to be three-pointers, but can he be effective from 18, 20, 22 if need be, right? Can he be that effective shooter? One of the things that's actually been missing in the game of basketball has been the mid-range shot. Everybody falls in love with the three-point shot because of what Steph Curry has done, and we get it, right? The Splash Brothers, all that. But if he can just consistently hit a mid-range J, that's going to set up Joel Embiid to do his work down low. Let's be honest. When you look at the Raptors, what did you need last year, right? When you looked at Philly going up against the Raptors last year, it was all about, hey, can we get one more point other than what the Raptors had? Obviously, it was a great three-point shot to end the series. But if you can go ahead and help out Embiid, then it makes everybody else on your roster that much better. And I'll tell you what, Tobias Harris, he's a bad boy too. So you put him in the game, how are you going to stop him? How do you stop this crew? It's going to be almost impossible to do so, especially if Ben Simmons can go and hit shots like that.
All points taken. You already got me excited for the NBA regular season. Let's just fast forward the preseason, because as you said, if that tandem can get together, they are going to continue to be a scary team, and they're only getting better. And staying with preseason basketball, we're going to switch over to the West Coast, where AD and LeBron is finally a thing we can talk about. We've all been building anticipation, and from the looks of it, everything is looking good. The Los Angeles Lakers versus the Golden State Warriors, they were able to roll to a 123-101 victory in the preseason opener on Saturday. The dynamic duo got their first taste together. And what we saw, and honestly, after the game, James gave AD his praise. He said, AD's AD. I thought he was great from the beginning of the game. Just his offset on the offensive end, and just is able to get us extra possessions with rebounding. He's knocking down shots. I think he had like 5 dunks in the first half, and communication on the defensive end. He's a very cerebral player. It was a good start for him. So he got the high praise from LeBron James, which is when you know you did well. And guess what? They didn't even have to play the second half. Davis finished with 22 points, and James finished with 15 points. So that being said, seeing these two together, I don't know. Are you putting them up there as are they going to win the West? I mean, are they the team truly to look out for to beat?
I won't say that they would win the West, but they are definitely a team that you need to look out for. I believe the Los Angeles Clippers, they don't have a whole lot to say about that. But when you look at the Lakers, I mean, they have so many different pieces. I mean, if you look at this team, say about four years ago, the way that they're comprised right now, it wouldn't even be a question of who's going to win, you know, the NBA Finals. It's just being how many games it's going to be done. Will it be a sweep or will it be a 5 games, right? But you have, don't get me wrong, you know, Anthony Davis, he is what he is, right? He is what he is, right? He's one of the top 5 players in the NBA. LeBron James, one of the top 5 players in the NBA. So you have those two guys that are going to get their points, they're going to get their rebounds. But then you have JaVale McGee, who had 13 rebounds in a game against Golden State. And don't get me wrong, I get it. It's preseason. But still 13 rebounds. Those are 13 extra possessions. And then you have Dwight Howard, who's fighting for a contract, defensive 2-time defensive player of the year, and he's a backup. It just shows that what Frank Vogel, the head coach of the Los Angeles Lakers, what he's putting together is a strong defensive unit that's going to be tough to beat when you look at the season, and that's going to help out LeBron James, going to help out with all the mileage that's on his legs. He don't have to put a team on his shoulders in order to win games. He can now defer to Anthony Davis in order to get the team to where he want to be.
It's an exciting time. And as you said, I'm excited now. I mean, I really think for the first time in a little while, the NBA is going to have its most competitive basketball season that we've seen. You talk about the Houston Rockets and what they have lined up. You talked about the Clippers. You talked about the LA Lakers. And, of course, the Golden State Warriors are the Golden State Warriors. And we haven't talked about the Brooklyn Nets and KD out there with Kyrie. So it's going to be a fun NBA season. And honestly, Justin, I really don't think we can put the two teams that we think we'll see in the finals just yet, because there's a lot to be proved and a lot of teams have a lot of expectations.
Yeah, you know, when was the last time we could say that? Because last year we all thought, okay, it's Golden State again. They're going to win it. Right. We're all with shocked, like, Toronto, how did this happen? How did Kawhi? You know, previous years, yeah, it was either Cleveland or it was Golden State. You know, for four NBA finals in a row, that was the matchup. Literally, the NBA, they're defined by their dynasties, right? They're teams that win two in a row, three in a row, right? The last team that won three in a row, you have to go all the way back to the Los Angeles Lakers of the Shaq and Kobe days. So it's always been that way. San Antonio Spurs with Tim Duncan, you have your dynasties, right? But this year, I mean, when you look at the Western Conference alone, legitimately, seven teams can go to the NBA Finals. You have the Utah Jazz with Mike Conley being traded there. That's a huge pickup, right? The Denver Nuggets, a team that got to the Western Conference semifinals last year. Oh, by the way, the Portland Trail Blazers, who went into Denver and won that Game 7 and got beat by Golden State. Golden State, another team that you can look at, right? So there's plenty of different teams you can look at. The Lakers, obviously, and Clippers. So there's a lot of different teams that can go and get the job done, especially with the Houston Rockets as well, now that you have that dynamic duo back there. So there's a lot of great basketball that's going to happen. To me, the most exciting team is going to be the New Orleans Pelicans, just because you're going to have Zion Williamson just going to dunk all over the place. It's going to be fun to see those highlights every night.
I mean, Zion is exciting, though, I will say, Justin, for New Orleans, just because I don't know if you had a chance to go to a Pelicans game more than recently, but Pelicans games have been dead, Justin. So the fact that he's rejuvenizing this fan base, I don't know if you remember, but on draft night, the ticket office went crazy once they drafted Zion, because the Pelicans game, kind of like it is in Miami, was real cheap to the disappointment of all the dysfunction that they had. So the fact that he's got New Orleans, which of course is a football town, now people going crazy for basketball, it's an exciting time for all those in the Big Easy. So I'm excited for Zion as well, like you said, because he can just do everything.
Oh, yeah, man. It's a big kid who's going dunk all over the place. The biggest thing for Zion Williamson, and I'm not saying that the New Orleans Pelicans are competitive, right? They could be the eighth seed. That's how competitive it is in the West. But if Zion could step out and hit a mid-range to mid-range J, consistently hit a three-pointer or anything like that, if he's just proficient in that area, what are you going to do? How do you stop him? Yeah, he could be, what, 6'6", 6'7", but this kid has hops out the gym. And I get it, in the NFL, or NBA rather, everybody has some hops, but this kid is special, and he's big, too. He's a wide load to take care of. So it's going to be fun to watch here, but if he can consistently hit a J, it'll be tough to stop.
Yeah, I just apologize in advance to the NBA players that he will make posters of this coming NBA season. I'm apologizing in advance. It's going to happen to some of y'all. It just is, sorry if you have to guard him. But as you said, he's just fun to watch. And this NBA season is just going to be fun. It's already fun in the preseason, but you can already tell it's going to be crazy come NBA regular season. That being said, I hate to put you on the spot, but if you had to pick two teams that we'll see in the finals, Justin, if you had to pick today, which teams would you pick?
You know what? I would love to be unbiased when I answer this question, but I'll be honest. I grew up in Denver, Colorado, the Rocky Mountains. You know, your listeners right now are wondering, where the heck is Denver at? If you look at the map and just put your finger somewhere in the middle, we're right there. Like, that's us. So I think Nikola Jokic,
I love it.
And what he's doing, he's a legit MVP candidate. If you haven't had a chance to see him play, you're missing out. One of the best, if not the best, passive big man, period, in NBA history. I believe that the Nuggets can really get everything together. They have so much depth. And they're talking about this kid by the name of Michael Porter Jr., who hasn't played yet. The last time he played was in Missouri before he hurt his back. He's supposed to be a guy that could really push the Nuggets up to the top. So they bring everybody back. They have a whole lot of depth. I could see them going and getting to the NBA Finals, beating a guy like LeBron, even Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. I could see that happen. When I go to the East, Kawhi Leonard's gone from Toronto. So the next team that I see, I won't say Boston. I'll go with Philly. I will go with Philly. I really believe, again, Ben Simmons, it comes down to him. Can he hit a mid-range J? Can he step out and hit a three ever so often? He doesn't have to go and be a guy that goes, 40% from downtown, but can he hit 30? If he can go to 30%, hit a three where guys are going to play off on him and hit a couple of shots, again, it'll open up the court for everybody else. Tobias Harris will have a big year, and Joel Embiid will have a huge, monster year, again, if he can get that extra spacing for Ben Simmons. So I'll go with Philly and the Nuggets to the finals.
All right, we'll have to hold you too. I'm going to have to bring you back on for the NBA Finals, so Justin, to see if that holds true. And I want to say in basketball with you real quick, Justin, because some news here made it in the DMV, and I'll go to my Doing It Big in the DMV segment. But one of our pride and joy of athletes, Kevin Durant, recently went on a talk show in New York City and basically explained why he never considered playing for the Wizards ever, you all. I know, I hate to hear it, though. The hashtag KDTDC movement might as well stay dead. And honestly, we knew this, right? I mean, come to the Wizards for what? I'm all for a big homecoming, though. For me, if I was a professional athlete, there'd be no place like home, especially one here like the DMV area. But at the same time, I put this out there on Twitter, Justin, but I said the only way I personally see Kevin Durant ever wearing a Washington Wizards uniform, I said I believe it would be on the last leg of his career, much like when Michael Jordan came here to the Washington Wizards. It wasn't the same Jordan, right, that we all know, but it was on the last. I think that might be the only way we ever get to see KD in D.C. But just your thoughts on that. Give me your thoughts on him joining the Brooklyn Nets team and what you think he'll do there. And give me your thoughts on what he said and if you think he really should never consider coming home to the Washington Wizards.
Well, you know, Kelsey, I never want to say that you're wrong on anything, right? I love your show, love everything here. But this is the only time that you are wrong. Actually, KD will be in a Washington Wizards uniform. If you buy NBA 2K, just buy the video game, get NBA 2K. You can go and trade for him right now. You know, they need to get a creative player that looks just like him. You can get the job done from there. Some guys don't have an affinity to come home. And that's just the reality. Mm-hmm. Some guys, when they've left and they've gone somewhere else and they've experienced another area, they didn't want to come back home. And so, more power to Kevin Durant. Let's be honest, you say on the last leg of his career, he's starting to get to that point right now. He's been in the NBA for a long time, coming off this Achilles injury where, what type of explosiveness will he have? Thankfully, he's, 6'11", 7 feet tall and can shoot a three, but what type of explosiveness will he have? Will he be a guy that could drive again, or is he going to be a guy that just has to step back and, be a spot-up shooter? Don't get me wrong. He's one of the best shooters in NBA history, one of the best scorers, but it will take away a little bit from the game. What I thought was really important, though, was what Kyrie Irving said at Media Day for the Brooklyn Nets was that we're not going to rush back Kevin Durant until he's 100% ready. And I think that's huge because for the Brooklyn Nets, this may be a quote-unquote lost season because, you may not see Kevin Durant for the whole year. We may say, hey, we want you to be 100% healthy before you come back. So for that to happen, I say the Brooklyn Nets, maybe not this year. They're a team that's going to make anything happen. Again, that's why I picked Philly. But the next year, you look at all the pieces they have in place, they're going to be a team that has a whole lot of problems, for other teams. Spencer Dinwiddie is a guy who can shoot threes coming off the bench as well. So they got a lot of talent there in Brooklyn. So it's not just Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. They got some other guys too, Kabal.
Right. So you seem pretty sold on them, like you said. But as you said, we just don't know KD's timetable. And as you said, I hate to say it, but I mean, KD is getting older. And it's crazy to think about it. But we have been watching him for so long, and he has been such a dominant player. But I don't know. With the things you said, I feel like you're going to get that KD burner account coming after you, Justin.
Look, it's okay. It's okay. All 20 of his burner accounts, I'll use the ball. He can go and have whatever he wants, okay? Do whatever he has to do.
Too funny. See, I'll try to protect you. If he comes to your mentions, I got your back. I got your back. But, Justin, I have to thank you so much for joining me. This has been a blast of Sports Talk. But before I let you go, I do have to get your thoughts on my Woman Crush Everyday segment. And we have to talk about the Connecticut Sun facing a Game 5 here in Washington, D.C. on Thursday as they won Game 4 of the WNBA Finals and they're now tied up 2-2 for the Washington Mystics. Did you get a chance to watch that game?
I did. It's interesting watching the game last night. was looking at the game, was like, okay, we're going to talk about it today, doing my research, studying up on the coaches and everything. And before I looked up, the game was already a blowout early on. I was like, what the heck is going on with Mystics, right? And then, you know, going to halftime, you know, Mystics down by 16. But what really showed me, and the main reason why, and I'll say this before we go, why Washington will win the WNBA Finals on Thursday night is because of what happened in the third quarter. Coming out the break, down 16, outscoring Connecticut 28-12.
Yeah,
I saw that type of fight from a team. I'm like, oh, this is the team that's going to win on their home court. And so it's going to be a tightly contested game. There always are. You know, Washington lost it last year and was swept by Seattle. But I look around, I say, hey, this is a team that, you know, they have that bad taste in their mouth. They understand, hey, we're just one great game away from lifting up the trophy. And I see the Mystics doing it on Thursday night.
Oh, I'm excited. I plan to be there Thursday night. DC needs another championship. We need it. We need it. Of course, we're still happy from the Caps. But Mystics, we were so sad and heartbroken last year. I think they can get the job done. You talked about it. I mean, I think they started off the game slow. Connecticut controlled that first half. And also, it's crazy, but the story has been this whole entire series for the finals that whoever has dominated the first quarter has went on to win. And sure enough, the Connecticut Sun dominated the first quarter and went on to win. I have to give props to Courtney Williams and Jonquel Jones of the Connecticut Sun for just terrific basketball. And also, Alyssa Thomas out of my alma mater, the University of Maryland, playing some great basketball for the Connecticut Sun. But I think, like you, I think the Washington Mystics will hoist that championship trophy come this Thursday. I think mask on, Elena Deladon, I think she's going to come back stronger than ever. They said she's beginning to feel a little bit better from her injury. She's been doing a lot to kind of negate some of the problems that she's had in her back. Natasha Cloud has continued to be a dominant force. And Christy Tolliver, they got to get her going earlier on in the ball game, and the Washington Mystics will be a dangerous team. And also Emma Miesemann needs to continue to be a factor for the Washington Mystics, and I think they'll get the job done. So I'm excited for it, Jeff. I'm so glad you follow WNBA basketball. I love when I hear men be such passionate fans about the game and eloquently break it down. So I'm giving you props for that, Jeff.
I appreciate it. You know, I don't know if you didn't mention Ariel Powers, but this young lady
mention Ariel Powers,
she can go. Led the team in scoring, have 15 points, went 5-9 from the floor. But the one thing, so I'm going to give you one quick key. Watch the game.
Okay.
The Washington Mystics have to go and rebound. They have to go get those extra possessions. They were out-rebounded by 10, 39-29. You cannot be out-rebounded, especially at home. It doesn't matter if you're playing in the NBA, WNBA, in high school, and college. The team that's hungrier, the team that wants it the most, would generally win these games. And so for the Mystics, you got to go and get every type of loose ball that you can, every possession that you can, because those small things are going to help out, especially in a championship must-win game like you will have on Thursday night.
You got to have it, that grit. The team with the most grit will come out, but I think hopefully home court advantage pays off for the Washington Mystics for playing in their brand new, beautiful arena here in Southeast DC. And I hope all of the fans come out and show support. Again, we could be hosting another championship parade here in D.C. and with some of the craziness going on in the political world. I think we need the sports side, Justin, to keep us happy here in D.C. and just kind of forget all the all the other craziness going on here in Washington. But, Justin, I have to thank you so much for joining me. It's been such a blast. We'll definitely have to have you back on the show. And if I'm ever out your way in the middle of the country in that Denver, point my finger on that map and get to Denver, I will have to say hello. So thanks again so much for joining me.
Kelsey, it's always been a pleasure. And yes, anytime you want to come down to the Rocky Mountains, you just let me know. You know, we're a mile high above sea level, so, you know, you may lose your breath a little bit. But I tell you what, you will have a blast out here in Colorado.
Nice. Well, I look forward to it. Everyone, this is Justin Adams joining me. Justin, before I let you go, can you drop your social media for people to follow you?
Yes, you can follow me on Instagram, Justin Adams Worldwide. Again, Justin Adams Worldwide. I have pictures of my son up there, so you can go and just, you know, look at the baby. He's a handsome boy. I always say that young man has the looks of his mother, but the swag of his daddy. So make sure you go right there and take a look at it. And also you can follow me on Twitter at Justin Adams TV. Love talking about just different sports, Broncos, everything here in Denver, Colorado. But also, as you know, go talk about the East Coast, too. So always a pleasure to join you.
Nice. Justin, thank you so much again for joining me. And to everyone listening, that's a wrap for this edition of Listen in with K&N. I hope you had fun, learned something, and of course, jumped in on the K&N bandwagon. Be sure to listen in each and every week for new shows that drop online at foxsports1340am.com. If that's not enough, the show is also available for download on iTunes and Google Play. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review. Your feedback and support truly do matter to me. Until next week, enjoy the sports world, smile, and please don't take your fantasy sports too seriously, because there's always another play.